Alrighty, imagine a heavenly account statement. What shows up when God credits righteousness to you, just like he did for Abraham? Discover how faith, not works, unlocks an eternal line of credit in Jesus Christ. Welcome to the Washington Defender Daily Devotional. I'm your host, Pastor Brian Noble, CEO of Family Policy Institute of Washington, and I hope you are having a great day today. Can you believe it's already December and we're diving into the Christmas season already? I've been contemplating whether or not in the next couple of weeks, whether we should just do a Christmas series, so we'll see if that comes out. However, if you are enjoying this Abraham series, I want to encourage you to subscribe, like, share, comment, and place in that huddle if you're in that Washington Defender app. Also, it's towards the end of the year, and so FPIW and FPIW Action are always doing fundraisers to ensure that our ministry keeps moving forward because we're changing hearts so that we can change the public square. So if you feel like giving an end-of-the-year donation or become a monthly partner with FPIW or FPIW Action, we greatly appreciate your partnership. Well, let's dive into God's Word today, and today is called Righteous Credit. If you haven't read the Abraham story, I know I've said this a number of times, the counts between Genesis chapter 11 and Genesis chapter 25. So Romans chapter 4, verse 22 through 25. Therefore, it was also credited to him as righteousness. Now, whenever you see the therefore, you got to go say, what's the therefore, therefore? I have the scriptures down below, so we'll check that out in just a second. Now, not for his sake only was it written that it was credited to him, but for the sake also to whom it will be credited, as those who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead, he who is delivered over because of our transgressions and was raised because of our justification. So what's the therefore? Therefore, in hope against hope, he believes that he might become a father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall your descendants be. Without becoming weak in faith, he contemplated his own body, now as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. Yet, with respect to the promises of God, he did not waver in unbelief, and grew strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully assured that God, who had promised, he was able to perform it. So, the therefore back up here is Abraham's faith. So, you could say it this way. Since Abraham had faith in God's promises, it was credited to him as righteousness. Now, that seems to make a lot of sense when you look at that text there, that it's really speaking of Abraham's faith and what he's all about. So, we'll talk more about these other verses in the days to come. So, here we go. Go back down here a little bit. So let's talk about what is credited to your account. Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminates, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor the covetous, nor the drunkards, nor the revilers, nor the swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. So the first thing that we have to understand is if you're living in willful disobedience to God, this list is all willful disobedience. And you're saying, God, I don't care. I'm going to be a thief. I'm going to be a drunk. I'm going to be a reviler, a swindler. I'm going to do all these things. And I know it's contrary to your word, God, but I'm going to do it anyways. If that is your lifestyle, you're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. Not everybody goes to heaven. People don't like to hear that nowadays. And yet, if you have faith, like Abraham, believe God, it was credited to him as righteous, this next portion applies. Such were some of you. That's past. That shows that these are the behaviors of the past. But you are washed. As you're going into the public square today, I want you to know God has washed you. But you were sanctified or set apart. So God put you in his Holy Spirit bathtub, cleaned you up and put you out and set you apart for his glory. But you are justified, taking away all your sins in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God. So you've been washed, you've been sanctified, and you've been justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and the Spirit of our God. So this is where we're heading. And to know that when you have faith in Jesus Christ and confess Jesus as Lord and believe that God raised him from the dead, that he washes you, sanctifies you, and justifies you is so, so very powerful. Abraham believed God. Will you take God at his word as well? Will you look God in the eyes and say, God, you're honest, you're truthful, your word is true, and say, I know that you have done this in my life. John says it this way, little children, make sure that no one deceives you. The one who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. See, Abraham believed that God would give him a son and that his descendants would be outnumber the stars. And so that was imputed to him as righteousness. We need to practice righteousness. Now, we don't practice righteousness to become righteous. We are righteous, so therefore we practice righteousness. Make sure you understand that. The one who practices sin is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. The Son of God appeared for this purpose, to destroy the works of the devil. No one who is born of God practices sin. In other words, you don't show up at the basketball court, and practice sin. You show up at God's court and you practice holiness and righteousness because his seed abides in him. And he cannot sin because he is born of God. By this, the children of God and the children of the devil are obvious. Anyone who does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor the one who does not love his brother. So if you have bitterness, resentment, unforgiveness towards your brother, today is the day you relinquish that. You're going to practice righteousness, taking on the word of God and just simply saying, God, you're true. You are true. Your righteousness is everlasting. So what is credited to the believer's account? Righteousness is credited. Romans 4:3. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God and it was credited to him as righteous. Take God at his word. He who the Son set free is free indeed. He who began a good work in you is faithful to complete it. You are pure just as he is pure. You practice righteousness, therefore you are righteous. Take him at his word. Just take him. Don't argue with it. Don't take your life experience and try to explain it away. Just take him at his word. God's word is a light unto our path and a lamp unto our feet. It is just a powerful truth to walk in the word of God. This verse anchors the doctrine that faith, not works, is what results in righteousness being credited to the believer. So understand that. It's by faith, not by works. Now, will that faith produce good works? Absolutely, yes. So the backwards of that equation is, if I am not producing any righteous behavior in my life, I need to evaluate what's been implanted in my life. Is it a seed of God? Is the soil of my heart receiving the seed of God implanted inside of me? Or am I living contrary to that? There's a great exchange of our sin for his righteousness. Look at this. He made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, Jesus, to be sin on our behalf so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Isn't that beautiful? God made Jesus Christ his son who knew no sin. Jesus is, was, will always be the sinless sacrifice, the sinless lamb, the sinless offering to Almighty God. He's always been that. He will always be that. Think about that. He who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf. You're walking into your workplace today, and Jesus already has seen that walking in thousands of years ago, and he died for this very, very moment. Not only for the injustice that you cause, but the injustice that you experience. He loves you so much. Here, God transfers Christ's righteousness to believers, making them righteous in his sight. You are in right standing with God because of the blood of Jesus Christ over your life. I just love that. It gives us some authority to take sin captive and just say, no, 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 no. You're not coming into this house, sin. I am not going to give in to you. I'm not going to bow down to you. I'm not going to worship your false idols. I'm not going to do those things because I am a child of the King. I am protected by my Father in my Father's house, and I stand on this foundation of righteousness, not unrighteousness. That's the authority of the believer. When you begin to take control of sin in your life and attitudes and thoughts and all that, and you begin to allow God to move in your heart and in your mind, you understand something. that God's movement in your thoughts, your desires, your emotions is going to bring peace. It's going to bring joy. It's going to bring righteousness and purity. It's going to bring all the things that bring honor and glory to him. Philippians 3:9, and may be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own or self-righteousness derived by the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith. So there's a righteousness that comes on the basis of faith. Noah had this righteousness. Abraham had this righteousness. Joseph had this righteousness. Moses had this righteousness. Many of our Old Testament heroes have had this righteousness and now are dwelling fully in God's righteousness. So what am I saying? Is purity credited to your account by God? Is holiness accredited to your account? Is forgiveness accredited? Where are you at? How blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. How blessed is the man whom the Lord does not impute iniquity. Think about that. You are so blessed because Jesus dwells inside of you. As you go throughout your day today, remember, Jesus Christ dwells inside of you. This points to God's not crediting sin, but instead imparting forgiveness and purity. So think about that. But by his doing, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. You know, righteousness, right standing with God, sanctification, set apart, redemption. That means that you were once a slave to sin and he purchased you and made you a slave to God. Powerful, powerful stuff. But by his doing, you are in Christ Jesus just as much as Jesus Christ is in you. And that wisdom from God dwells inside of you. So what's our public square application today? What is your line of credit? Is it self-righteousness or God's righteousness? Walk in God's righteousness today. Do the things that honor and please him. Why? That is what is dwelling inside of you. As you walk down this path, this is a street in Jerusalem. As you walk down that street, I want to encourage you. Let the righteousness that dwells in you come out of you, and that you may glorify your Heavenly Father who's in heaven. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you that you have imputed righteousness by faith, not by works. So Lord, we receive that gift of righteousness into our heart, that gift of sanctification, redemption, that gift that you have placed inside of us, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Lord, we walk in Jesus today. We talk in Jesus today. We move in Jesus today. We give you our mouth. We give you our ears. We give you our hands. We give you all of our being for your glory and your pleasure today, God. Use us mighty in our workplaces today. Go before us in whatever we're doing, God. Let our lights shine to those around us that they may see our good works and glorify you who are in heaven. God, we love you. We give ourselves to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Go out there and defend and advance biblical values in the public square. God bless.
You love our beautiful state, but does fighting for issues that most affect families ever feel like you're climbing alone? It can feel like an uphill climb in a hostile environment that champions causes detrimental to Washington families. Again and again, the summit feels out of reach, but you don't have to climb alone. With like-minded people fighting for Washington families by your side, the journey becomes not just possible, but powerful. The Defender app, brought to you by the Family Policy Institute of Washington, connects you with your team for the climb ahead. Connect with conservatives who care about issues affecting families in your specific county and across our state in order to make our voices be heard locally and in Olympia. Simply click Learn to stay informed about the latest news affecting families. With one click, press Huddle to team up with other conservative minds in your specific county who care about how these issues affect you in your unique community. Then simply press Activate to get involved and to make your voice heard on legislation that matters in Olympia. With the Washington Defender app, you won't face the fight alone. Together, we can make a difference for families in Washington. Download the Washington Defender app today, a simple way to let your voice be heard.